لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداع إذا دعان. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدعاء هو العبادة، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. نسبة الأندلس المغربية. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله بفائدة وسائل نبلس منطقة رمضان، إن مبارك منطقة رمضان. Such a man in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made dua to Allah ta'ala to allow him to reach this month. So we have found this month, we have reached this month. We should take full benefit from this month. In this month there are many actions which we increase in, many actions which we do, many great ibadah which we engage in. But there are two such actions which we should do more, we should engage more in. And that is from our own side we should increase in these ibadah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first is dua. We find the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained to us and told us that the fasting person's dua is accepted hatta yuftir, until this person breaks his fast. So it's a time when du'as are accepted. And over and above that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also explains that at the time of iftar, just before breaking fast, at that time, a person's dua is also accepted. So these are golden moments in which du'as are accepted and in which we should turn to Allah Ta'ala for all our needs. Whether it be big or small, any need a person has, a person should turn towards Allah Ta'ala and ask Him of his needs at this time. Another time in which we have an opportunity to turn towards Allah Ta'ala is also at the time of tahajjud, at the time of sihri. In the morning when we wake up before we start our fast, at that time also a person should turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah ta'ala his needs. That is a time of acceptance also. The mercy of Allah ta'ala descends. Allah ta'ala asks the people of this earth if they need anything. And at that time a person who makes dua to Allah ta'ala, there is a great hope that his du'as will be accepted. So all these ahadith and all these actions, these times which are blessed, which are here for us to take benefit from. But a person has to make dua to Allah Ta'ala and take these opportunities. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that how will your du'as be accepted? How can you have a greater chance of your du'as being accepted? Is that your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure, is clean. In a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains to us that a person, he finds himself in a very pitiable condition, in a very sad state. If a person has to look at this person, they will really think that this person is in need. His hair is disheveled, his body is full of dust. He went through a difficult time, extreme hardship, and in this condition he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person in this world, if he will see such a person, he will feel sad for him. He will feel the desire to assist this person and give him something. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that such a sad person, such a person in such a pitiable condition, turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he calls, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, Oh my Rabb. He calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all his needs. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, مطعمه حرام ومشربه حرام ولبسه حرام وغذي بالحرام. But this person, his income was from incorrect sources. The clothes that he is wearing is from doubtful sources. The food which he nourished his soul with, which he nourished his body with, the drink which he took down, all these came from doubtful sources. These came from haram income. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. How can Allah Ta'ala ever accept such a person's du'as? Such a person, in the normal circumstances, if he had to turn towards Allah, definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have accepted his du'as. In fact, if he had to even ask the people of this world, they would have looked upon him favorably. But because his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was tainted, his income was from doubtful sources, the food which he nourished his body with was from doubtful sources, so this becomes a preventative of his du'a being accepted. His du'as cannot be accepted now because of what he has earned and what he has nourished his body with. And on the other hand, a person who eats halal, he nourishes his body with halal, this person's du'a will most certainly be accepted. Even though outwardly this person may be a simple person. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi, he mentions one incident, and he says in one occasion the Muslims were going through a difficult time. There was severe drought. So the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he asks the people of the city that everyone should come out of the city, and we need to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain. So the people leave the city. Everyone is outside crying towards Allah, turning to Allah. People are in tears. And Ibn al-Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi says that I see a simple person. He was not an Arab. He was from African background. Simple person, simple clothes, dark skin. He comes, he raises his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he takes a qasam that, oh Allah, I take a qasam on your name that you should send down the rain for us. Ibn al-Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi says, after the person made dua, there wasn't not even a few moments passed, and I seen the clouds come over us, and Allah ta'ala sent down the beneficial rain for us. So Ibn Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi says that I followed this person, and I watch to see where he goes, and I see him walking. He goes towards the market, and he goes and stands among the slaves that are for sale. He was a slave and he was being sold in the marketplace. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi says, I bought this person, I purchased him. But even though in the eyes of people he had no rank, but in the eyes of Allah ta'ala he had a lofty rank. And this is why his du'as were accepted. Abdullah bin Mubarak purchased him, and eventually this person, his condition became known. He made dua to Allah ta'ala that, oh Allah, now that people know of my condition, people know of my close rank with you, I desire to meet you and I desire to pass away. And Allah ta'ala took his soul and he left this temporary world. But a person, simple, who looked simple, who wore simple clothes, but because his connection was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala accepted his du'as. And on the other hand, if a person's connection is not correct with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is nourished with haram, his income is from haram, his clothes are from doubtful sources, then this person's du'as can never be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is du'a, and we have time, special times and special moments in the month of Ramadan to make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should take full benefit of these moments and turn and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all our needs. And another action which we need to increase in the month of Ramadan is our tilawat and the recitation of the Qur'an al-Majeed. The Qur'an was revealed in the month of Ramadan. Ramadan is known as the month of Qur'an. So a person should take out additional time, he should make time to recite the Qur'an al-Majeed. A person does not have to recite a great amount, but he should be taking out a certain time, certain amount of time, to try and recite the Qur'an al-Majeed. If a person, the ulama mentioned that in the time of Ayyub alayhi salam, when he was extremely sick, when he had lost everything, then at that time Allah ta'ala created a spring of life for him. He drank that water, he had a bath in that water, and Allah ta'ala restored his former glory. The spring of this ummah is the spring of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Quran al-Majeed. If a person will recite it, Allah ta'ala will cleanse him. A person will recite it, Allah ta'ala will bring him alive from the inside, and Allah ta'ala will make his conditions good. The Quran al-Majeed has such power in it that it can change our life. Umar radiallahu anhu had set out with the intention of killing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when he heard these verses of Quran, when he listened to Quran, then Allah ta'ala caused such a change in his heart that Umar became Umar radiallahu anhu. He accepted Islam and he became the second Khalifa of Islam. Why? How did his life change? With listening to the verses of the Quran al-Majid. He had listened to the verses of 16 para, 16 juz. Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Quran litashqa. And on one occasion, Qari Abdul Basit rahmatullah alayhi was asked, can you mention to us some miracle which you have witnessed of the Quran? So he says that the president of Egypt, Jamal Abdel Nasser, had went to Russia and he had some meetings with the president, with the ministers. And after he had finished his meetings, etc., the ministers, they had invited him to leave Islam and become a communist. And they told him that if you have to become one of us, then we will make your country one of the most prosperous countries. We will grant you the latest technology and the best of this world. And at that time, it wasn't Russia, it was the Soviet Union, which was one of the superpowers. So Jamal Abdel Nasser, he says that he returned to Egypt, and when he was going back again to Russia a second time after some years, then he invited Qari Abdul Basit rahmatullah alayhi to come with him. Qari Abdul Basit says, normally I would go to the India, Pakistan, to the subcontinent, I would go to the Arab countries to recite for the people. This was the first time I was being invited to a non-Muslim country, to people who hated the Quran, who banned Islam, and I had to recite for them. So he says, the president invited me, so I accepted, I went with him. And after all his meetings with the president, with the ministers, whoever he had to meet, he says there was some time for them to interact. So he tells the ministers that you will wait here and listen to what this person has to recite. So Qari Abdul Basit rahmatullah alayhi says, I closed my eyes and I began reciting these very same verses which Umar radiallahu anhu had recited. Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'an litashqa illa tadhkiratan liman yakhsha. I recited two rukus. And he says, after I opened my eyes, I see that all these people in front of me had tears in their eyes. These people were crying, people whose hearts were dead, people whose hearts hated Islam, but listening to the Quran, and through the power of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala had caused tears to flow down their faces. So my dear brothers and elders, this is what we have with us, the Quran al-Majid. If we have to also recite it with an open heart, if we have to recite it to desire benefit from it, then most surely Allah Ta'ala will grant us this benefit from it. A person should never abandon the recitation of the Quran. In Ramadan, we hear the Quran al-Majid in the Taraweeh Salah. We may hear it, we may hear people reciting, but we also should take out some time to recite the Quran. A person who holds firm to the Quran, in the hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us, Waris in the hadith, that a person, once he passes away, then he is enshrouded, he is put in his coffin, janazah salah is recited upon him, he is taken to the graveyard, he is put in his grave. His wealth, his family, they come with him till the grave. His family come, they put him in the grave, and they also have to come out. And they begin throwing sand on him, leaving him all alone in his grave. But at that time, a person who held firm to the Qur'an al-Majid in this world, that person who recited the Qur'an, followed what the Qur'an had to say, the Qur'an al-Majid comes as a nur, comes as a light, and comes as a companion in his grave with him. And it gives him hope at the time when the person has no other hope. And thereafter, his wife, his family, his people begin throwing sand on him, they cover him up. And the angels come to question this person. So as the angels come to question this person, they see the Qur'an al-Majid in this form, and they ask the Qur'an al-Majid to leave, because they need to question this person. But the Qur'an al-Majid replies and tells them that you can ask him your questions, you can do what you need to do, but in this world, this person never abandoned me. He always recited the Qur'an, and he never abandoned me. So now in his time of difficulty, I will never abandon him. My dear brothers, at that time, when there will be no other hope, when there will be no other companionship, the Qur'an al-Majid will be there for us on condition we do not abandon it in this world. We recite it, we take out some time for the recitation of the Qur'an al-Majid, and we practice upon what it commands us, and we refrain from those things which the Qur'an prohibits us. That time, and in this instance, this person will have a companion in his grave, which will be the Qur'an-i Majeed. The Qur'an-i Majeed, as it brought life to Ayyub alayhi salam, it also in this world, it can bring a person's dead heart to life, and it will give a person a sense of solace. It will be a companion in the grave and in this world, it will bring ease to a person. On one occasion, Sheikh Yasir Dosari, who is the Imam of the Haram, he mentions his own incident. He says he was doing hifz by his ustad. He was a youngster, and after Isha, he was reciting his door by his ustad, and he sees a person entering the masjid. This person, outwardly, he was in a good condition, but he sees on this person's face the sense of grief. This person is lost. This person has no direction. The person is suffering from anxiety. So he comes to the Sheikh, he tells his ustad, and he tells him that, "Oh Sheikh, I have no ease. I am completely restless. I am anxious. I need you to recite Quran and blow on me." So the Sheikh tells him that, "No problem, I will do this, but I am testing the student. For now, what you do, you perform, make wudu, perform 2 rakats of salah, and just open the Quran in Majid and begin reciting." So Sheikh Yasir Dosari says he was reciting, and he sees what had happened, and his ustad on purpose tells him to recite more, to recite extra, to give more dua. After some time, he sees this person waking up and turning towards his ustad and coming back. And Sheikh Yasir Dosari, he mentions that this person's face was completely changed. When he had come in, his face was full of grief and he was anxious. He did not have inner peace. Outwardly, he was wealthy, but inner peace he did not have. Now, after he recited the Quran in Majid and he came back, he says there was a complete change on this person's face. So his ustad addresses that person and he tells him that you did not have any problems. All you need, all your soul needed was some nourishment. You nourished your physical body, you ate food, you drank water, but you did not nourish your soul. And the nourishment of your soul is turning to Allah and reciting the Quran. You recited the Quran, Majid, and this was spiritual nourishment for your soul. And now your soul has been given some nourishment, been given some food. That is why you find this change upon yourself. So if we find within ourselves some emptiness, anxiousness, grief, then all we have to do is open the Quran and Majid, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the book of Allah, and begin reciting. This will grant us inner peace, remove our anxiousness, and remove a person's grief from his entire life. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he had appointed a certain person as a governor of a certain area. And after some time, he comes to meet Umar radiallahu anhu. He sits by Umar radiallahu anhu, and Umar radiallahu anhu asks him that, "Now you have left this place, who have you put there as governor in your place, as a temporary governor?" So he replies and says that, "I have put my slave." So Umar radiallahu anhu questions him and he asks him that, "How can you put your slave in charge of the people? How can you put him to run the affairs of an entire city?" So he says to Umar radiallahu anhu, "And Umar radiallahu anhu is a man of Quran. This is a person who knows the Quran and Majid. That is why I have put him in my place." Umar radiallahu anhu replies and he says that, "I've heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, 'Inna Allah yarfa'u bihada al-kitab aqwaman wa yada'u bihi akharin,' that by means of this Quran and Majid, Allah ta'ala raises people, and people who neglect the Quran, Allah ta'ala disgraces them." A person who will hold firm to the Quran and Majid, he will see the benefit in the hereafter, definitely. He will see the benefit in Jannah. He will see the benefit in the hereafter, in Akhirah. He will see the benefit in the grave. And he will see the benefit in this world also. This was a person who people regarded as low, but because he had the Quran and Majid in his life, Allah Ta'ala granted him honor and raised his ranks, raised his status. Each and every word of the Quran has great benefit, great power behind it. A single word has great power behind it. Isa alayhi salam on one occasion had passed a certain grave, and he had seen that the inmate of this grave was being given a severe punishment. After some time, he passes again, and he finds that this person was in a good state, in a good find he was in a good state and enjoying himself in his grave. So Isa alayhi salam, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is a Nabi of Allah, and he asks Allah that what has happened to this person's condition? He was in such a bad state, but now he is enjoying himself, he is in a garden inside his grave. So this Allah ta'ala replies and reveals wahi to Isa alayhi salam that he left a son which was not born as yet, and the son grew up and he went to the maktab. He learned to recite the Quran, and his teacher taught him Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. He is reciting, and the son above the earth is saying that, oh Allah, you are most merciful, how can I punish his father beneath the earth? So these are the words of the Quran which we need to learn from Bismillah till one nas. Every word we should recite, and a person who recites well, he will get great reward. But that person who battles to recite, he has to recite slowly. Then this person also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, لَهُ أَجْرَانِ وَالَّذِي يَتَّتَعْتَعُ فِيهِ. That person who battles, he finds it difficult, but still he makes an effort, one letter at a time he recites, one word at a time he recites, this person will get double reward. Allah ta'ala make it easy for every one of us to recite the Quran, to make dua to him, to recite the Quran in Majid, and make our Ramadan a beneficial one. There are many people who started reciting also in old age, and slowly, over 30 years to recite one khatam, but every single day they took out time to recite Quran in Majid, and Allah Ta'ala made it such that they reached the end. We also should take out time. If a person cannot recite one para, then take out 20 minutes. Whatever I recite in just 20 minutes, Allah Ta'ala should accept it from me. Will be a benefit, means of a person inside being cleansed, a person coming back to life, and a person getting great rewards in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah grant one and all the ability to practice.